So, we're back with Taz Daughtry, who has enlightened us on ASTQB and webinars and podcasts in the past. And today we're talking to him about what we consider to be his observatory function. He's looking at possible emerging new technologies, machine learning, artificial intelligence, and whatnot. So, Taz, thank you for joining us again today.
It's a pleasure.
So, Taz, what can you tell us about these possible emerging areas? What should those interested in software quality be keeping in mind?
Oh, great. We had an article in the first newsletter of the year. It was a quotation. One version of it is attributed to Bill Gates. But basically, it's the idea of overestimating changes in the short run, say 1 to 2 years, and underestimating the change that will happen over a longer period, like maybe 10 years. And so we've been tracking several things that are sort of on the horizon that are possible areas that maybe people are excited about for the short run that may or may not be something that we really need to be excited about in the long run, although some of these things will extinguish themselves. So I picked several. Let me just get with the disappointment first. Quantum computing has been a lot of buzzword going on there, and a lot of people are concerned about how we'll basically just completely change the computing paradigm. I'm particularly interested on security side of things, of whether either quantum computing will make it totally impossible to have any secrecy, or whether it'll make it totally possible to have totally secure communication. It looks like we might have been overly optimistic on quantum computing. And I'm going to keep that sort of nudging around on the horizon. Mm-hmm. But the number of qubits, the number of quantum bits that are put together in a very fragile sort of setting, it looks like it's still a fairly research-oriented thing. It may or may never emerge to being a practical issue, certainly in the short run. It's almost like nuclear fusion. Control nuclear fusion as the answer to the world's energy problems.
Sure.
The joke there has been that it's 10 years away from reality and always has been. And I think I was in grad school in the 70s working at the Princeton Plasma Physics Lab, and they were on the verge of all of that, and the decades come and go. So maybe sort of put aside the quantum computing issue for right now. We'll keep tracking on that. But that doesn't look like it's going to be an issue, even maybe in the intermediate range. There have been a couple of other hot things. We were tracking earlier variations of machine learning, artificial intelligence, so the overarching category,
mm-hmm.
and the idea that it really is going to have to make a difference because we're moving from programming computers to training computers. And so the whole idea of how you develop programs and then how you evaluate and test those programs is literally going to have a paradigm shift because we're going to have to be concerned about the training so that some of the quality issues and some of the testing issues will not necessarily be that you have controlled or you've done a good job of the logic or the error handling or all the other things that are in typical program computer applications, but have you done a good job of training? So the quality of the training data is going to be important. So it's going to be a lot of analysis of data quality. A lot of people are concerned that when you build in a training set, you may be building in various kinds of biases in terms of everything from facial recognition working better with certain types of faces and other faces to other ways in which we evaluate things because we've trained them. It's like, you know, giving the computer a million cat faces and then letting it recognize what is the essence of a cat face. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely, as we have more and more of that application area, it's going to be a real concern both for how we program, or in this case, we train the computers, and then how we evaluate them. And so the testing will shift from exclusively looking at the quality or the correctness of the logic, as it'll look at the actual process of training and also the content of the training or the data set. And so there certainly are some people that are doing some fairly decent jobs on that area of how you would test for that. The flip side, the interesting thing is there are people that are looking at artificial intelligence, I'll use the more specific language of machine learning, mm-hmm. How you test that and how you use that to do testing. So just as the software can be trained, and then we have to test to see if that training is adequate, we also can use machine learning types of pattern recognition as a testing tool itself. So there are actually folks that are doing the AI testing AI flip side and saying we both need to concern ourselves with how you would test a trained program, how you would look at the data, how you'd look at the training set and so forth. And then can we use a trained program or can we use a machine learning application to do testing in a way that the human is not have to be involved. It's a step beyond from manual to automated testing. It's to actually sort of turning the testing application loose on its own. And so I think there's some interesting things going to happen on both of those sides, and I think that is something we're going to watch. We are aware of several professional groups, conferences that are being put on in that particular area. So I think, again, as we stop programming computers and start training computers, there could be a lot of interest there and some shifts we're going to have to make. A third thing I'll just mention, please.
The question, are testers going to work themselves out of a job by doing this, by training the testing as well as, you know, testing the training, if you will? And I guess you could argue probably not. They'll just move on to something else, just as they have done with automated test tools. It's not like all testers have gone away. They've just refocused in different areas. But what's your big picture takeaway on this? Should testers start looking for other jobs, or are they just, is this an opportunity to expand their skill set and do things that are very fun and still focused on software quality?
Yeah, I think the area to branch out in is the broader area of data science. And so I think that as you become more knowledgeable about analyzing and using data, that will be a part of the skill set that will really allow someone to do the testing more appropriately. You could envision almost an infinite regression, because if you train a program to do the testing, but we're already worried about the quality of the programs that we train, how do we have to assure ourselves, just like any tool, how do you have to assure yourself that the tool is correct? It's like a friend just sent me a picture of the turtle on top of the turtle on top of the turtle, the old joke about the person that believed the earth was on the back of a turtle and that turtle was standing on the back of another turtle. And the astronomer says, well, what's that turtle standing on? And the answer is it's turtles all the way down. So it's almost like an infinite regression. So I think at some point we're going to have to feel, just like you validate a tool, that you trust the value of the tool, but there'll always be the human judgment of which tool to use. And we're using the generic term of machine learning or even the more broad term of artificial intelligence. There clearly are different modes in which you do that. And so I think it's just like, you don't want to have just one tool in your tool kit. I think a variety of tools, that deal with this in different sorts of ways would be appropriate. And as I say, I think the data science angle and that kind of analysis, and obviously people feeling very knowledgeable with how to apply statistical and inferences would be the issue there. So I think that is a lot there. I was going to mention one quick other thing, That is what wasn't on the original observatory, but there are some interesting things in the area of blockchain. Obviously, blockchain has mainly been prominent because people understand that that's the underlying, or maybe they don't understand, that's the underlying technology behind the various cryptocurrencies. Mm-hmm. And that's been a real roller coaster ride recently. Just saw today that from the peak price, things like Bitcoin are down like 80% of their value. But blockchain itself, the underlying technology is quite interesting, and I think that's certainly going to be prominent. It's certainly going to be prominent enough in people's conversations that testers are going to have to be aware of that being on the table in terms of ways which people are going to be looking at solving problems and issues of how you do testing for those. And when I say it's going to be visible, I think yesterday, I don't think it was the very first time, but sort of my barometer here is yesterday, blockchain figured into the Dilbert comic strip.
So Dilbert, that's a milestone.
Yeah, well, Dilbert has, you know, it's an inside joke. A lot of people who know the technology will appreciate several different levels, but Dilbert is accessible enough to the general public that it runs in your daily newspaper. And so the joke yesterday was about whether we're going to use blockchain or persistent databases. But the point is that those are words that are getting thrown around and bingo. I think at least from a tester's point of view, they need to become a little more familiar with what that underlying technology is. It involves a lot of it's very computationally intensive. It has a lot of promises. For example, we've just had a recall of lettuce, leaf lettuce. What do we have? What kind we call romaine?
Right.
I'm going to say the wrong kind. But basically an E. coli outbreak. And up till now, what you had to do is once that hits, they have to pull all the lettuce off the shelves of all the stores. They have used blockchain on at least a experimental basis to keep track down to the individual farm, the individual day. I think one of the supermarket chains did this with the avocado blockchain. And so basically the supply chain is down to that level of understanding and of granularity that if there is a outbreak of some bad produce, we don't have to pull all of it off the shelf. And so we'll know the day and the time and the place. I think the suppliers are going now to labeling things more precisely. But there's underlying technology that will allow you to have much more understanding and insight into the whole supply chain. And that's where there are a lot of weaknesses and a lot of room for improvement. And so as people begin to use some technology like blockchain, it's going to spill over into the overall stability, the overall reliability of the system, and to the extent that there are going to be some testing issues there. So I sort of added blockchain onto my observatory list, taken quantum computing down a notch, and we'll be continuing to watch that along with other areas such as we've just been mentioning with the other technologies that are emerging.
No, that's great. It's very helpful. It sounds like as quickly as one door might close or at least temporarily pause, mm-hmm. another one comes flying open.
Yeah, lots of things to be tracking on that. And so I think at least that's a quick view of several things. I will wait for another segment to talk about an area that was also in the observatory and it continues to be there, cyber physical systems. So I have a little more detail. I'd like to talk about that in just a bit.
Great. Well, thanks for taking time to speak with us, and we look forward to hearing you on another podcast.
My pleasure.